This is Rick Casells from ExercisesForInjuries.com with another interview with a fitness and performance professional on, he's going to chat about shoulders and the throwing shoulder and what he looks at when it comes to the shoulder. I got Eric Cressy, so Eric will get you to do a quick intro on who you are.
Sure thing. Specific to this this interview, I own my own facility. It's called Cressy Performance. It's about 40 minutes west of Boston, and the overwhelming majority of our clients, about 80-85% of them actually, are baseball players. And basically, pitchers are about 60% of professional baseball players, so it stands to reason that a huge chunk of my clientele throw a baseball a big chunk out of the year. So we need to know how to manage that and how to watch for certain things that, that creep up and cause, you know, in particular shoulder and elbow injuries. So, one of the things that we were going to talk about today is some of the first things that I look at in that overhead throwing population. And really the biggest one that I see, and this isn't just specific to the overhead throwing population, you'll see in other ones as well, so it's important to know how to assess it. But we watch for a big shoulder internal rotation deficit. And you'll see some internal rotation deficits that's actually normal. It's abbreviated as GERD, glenohumeral internal rotation deficit. And how we'll assess is we'll put people on their backs, we'll stabilize the scapula, and we'll basically, assess shoulder internal and external rotation at 90 degrees of abduction, so they'll be on their back on a table, and we can take them through some range of motion tests. And what you'll often find is on a throwing shoulder, almost always there's a marked decrease in internal rotation and an increase in external rotation. So their total arc of motion, which is internal and external rotation, in a healthy shoulder, that should be symmetrical side to side. So if I measure your left side and you have, say, 60 degrees of internal rotation and 120 degrees of external rotation, you've got 180 degrees of total motion. I might go over to your right side if you're a right-handed pitcher, and you might have 10 degrees of internal rotation and 130 degrees of external rotation. So we know you've got 140 degrees on that side, and we know we're going to work pretty hard to get a lot of that that internal rotation back so that we can get you symmetrical in terms of total motion. So kind of the big thing that we watch out for is, as long as that total arc is even in terms of the 180 degrees or whatever that total motion figure is, it's okay if that arc of motion comes in a different place. We know that they're going to have a little more external rotation, a little less internal on their throwing side. So, and we can talk about, some of the bony changes that, happen to make that happen and things like that. But I think the take-home message is internal rotation deficit is a normal thing in that throwing population, but you don't want to let it get out of hand, because that's when guys tend to have problems. A little bit geeky, probably new stuff to a lot of people that might be listening to this, but something that we have to watch for every day and learn how to assess and learn how to address.
And then, so you're looking at the internal external rotation of the glenohumeral joint. What else do you look at in the shoulder? So you got that one joint that you're looking at. I mean, we got lots.
That's really, that's just one tip of the iceberg, because if you think about it this way, if I'm stiff there, chances are I have to compensate somewhere else. So usually what you'll see hand in hand with that is some scapular dysfunction as well. You might have wing scapula. It might be, a little more elevated, a little more abducted. So those are things that we need to watch for really, really closely. So we assess not only internal and external rotation, we also assess how well guys will flex the shoulder, so how well they can actually get up to 180 degrees of flexion, or if there are restrictions in lat, long head of the triceps, or inferior capsule, something like that. But we also look at scapular stability. So we'll do wall push-up tests and abduction tests and shoulder flexion tests to see how that scap moves. We also look a lot at thoracic spine mobility. It's real, real important, how their upper back moves, because that's where that rib cage and scapular position. So if your spine's a little bit out of alignment or just doesn't move quite enough, those scaps are going to be flying all over the place. So, those are all real, real important things to look at with shoulder pain. And likewise, we've got to look at a lot of lower extremity factors in our pitchers, because, the positioning of that lower half dictates where my upper body is and where I might be running into problems when I throw that ball.
Okay. Before we wrap up, what would be one tip? I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff, and that's a lot that, in the 5 minutes that we chatted, you could work on that for like 8 hours, are teaching that for 8 hours.
Absolutely.
What would be the quick tip that you would give someone to take away from this interview?
I think it's two parts. It's one, make sure if you're dealing with overhead athletes, you know how to assess that total motion at the glenohumeral joint. You know how to assess that internal rotation. But two, more importantly, understand what stretches to give people in order to address it. Sleeper stretch is one that we use that's pretty effective. We also use sidebind cross-body stretch. So there are a couple of different stretches that you can get people to really address that soft tissue shortness that causes that big internal rotation deficit. And you got to be careful, because if you don't, take care of that, we know that people with internal rotation deficits have markedly higher injury rate in terms of slap lesions and rotator cuff problems. They tend to have more biceps tendon irritation at the shoulder. And they also present actually with a lot more medial elbow pain, because of the way that we have to kind of go a joint below to really get that range of motion back. We don't have internal. So really important to be able to assess internal rotation and use exercises like the sleeper stretch and sideline cross-body stretch and manual stretching as well to get that internal rotation back.
Excellent. Great information, Eric. So wrapping up, where can people get more information on you, Eric?
They can check out my website, which is ericcressy.com. ericcressey. There's a lot of stuff on there. There's a full page devoted to baseball content. And they can also check me out at the seminar you're putting on. So we'll be going through screens kind of similar like this and talk about corrective approaches to addressing it.
And, about the seminar, Eric's coming up to Vancouver, BC, Canada on March 27th and 28th. He's going to be presenting a seminar course on the nuts and bolts of corrective exercise. He's going to go through the assessment that he does, the assessments that he does, and then it's going to be practical. We're going to go hands-on with the assessments, and then he's going to go hands-on with the various exercises that he gives his athletes and, general population clients when it comes to what he sees in the assessment. That sound about right, Eric?
It looks good, man. Sounds good, I should say.
Okay. So this is Rick Casselge from ExercisesForInjuries.com signing off. Thanks for reading and listening and viewing the blog. We will see you on the blog. Take care and bye-bye.